What time is it? What was the time?
10:48 and a half.
I see. What time is it?
I agree. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you this morning from the campus of the University of New Brunswick, out of doors, just outside the old observatory. There's a rather unique ceremony about to take place here. It's the unveiling of a plaque on the old observatory marking Canada's first astronomical observatory. The ceremony will be self-explanatory, and I think I'll try to get all the various speeches that are going to be taking place here and the various aspects of the ceremony. First of all, Dr. Colin Mackay, president of the University of New Brunswick, is going to open the ceremony. He's acting as chairman, and I believe he's about ready to begin, and we'll come in and try to catch his remarks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to extend to you a most cordial welcome to the university this morning. We're very pleased that His Worship and Mrs. Wright are able to be with us, and particularly pleased that Mrs. Dunlop from St. John, one of the descendants of Dr. Jack, is able to be here this morning. We're also delighted to have members of the IODE in attendance. Now, in 1947, the Government of Canada recognized the University of New Brunswick as a birthplace of Canadian literature when it placed on this campus the monument in memory of Sir Charles G.D. Roberts and Bliss Carman and Frank Sherman. A year ago, we unveiled a tablet in memory of Canada's first native-born novelist, Julia Hart. The campus has been recognized not only for these distinguished men and women who have lived and worked with us here, but also for its old and historic buildings that have played such a significant part in the growth of higher education in Canada. A few years ago, the Historic Sites and Monuments Board marked the Arts Building as the oldest existing university building in Canada. Now today, on the recommendation of that same board, the Dominion government is officially recognizing the university's observatory as the first astronomical observatory in Canada. It was a natural outcome of the efforts of Sir Howard Douglas to reestablish the university on a firm foundation with the construction of the Arts Building in 1828, that the university would not be long in expanding its scientific facilities. The natural resources of this province were opening up, and commerce and navigation were posing many problems in the fields of mathematics, of physics, and astronomy. I think it was fortunate indeed that at that juncture in the history of the province, a young Scotsman with scientific training should have accepted a professorship at this university. His energy and enthusiasm were soon felt at what was then King's College, and the records of 1847 reveal that consideration was being given to the purchase of astronomical equipment. The telescope was acquired in the following year, and in 1851, the observatory was completed at a cost of £170, 9 shillings and 7 pence. Now, I'm going to call on Dr. C. McEnn-Steeves, a member of the class of 1905, and which class is this year celebrating its 50th anniversary, and who is also a member of the University Senate, to unveil this tablet marking Canada's first astronomical observatory. Dr. Steeves has been untiring in his efforts to preserve and to mark the many things which go to make up the story of UNB. Dr. Steeves.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Dr. Colin Mackay, the president of the University of New Brunswick, introducing the ceremony this afternoon. And now Dr. Steeves has just unveiled the plaque and is about to read it.
Erected by the Government of Canada, first astronomical observatory in Canada. built in 1851 at the instigation of William Bryden Jack, professor of mathematics, natural philosophy, and astronomy, president of the University of New Brunswick, 1861 to 1885. Schooled in the traditions of the Scottish universities, he equipped the observatory with the best instruments of the day. In collaboration with Harvard Observatory, he determined the longitude of Fredericton and other places in New Brunswick and corrected errors in the international boundary. Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada.
And that was Dr. C. McKen Steeves reading the inscription on this plaque, which he has just unveiled on the old observatory on the campus of the University
of
New Brunswick.
The Dean of Arts,
Dr. Steeves, incidentally, was very active in promoting the maintenance and the restoration of this observatory. And now Dr. McKay is introducing Dr. Bailey, who is the New Brunswick representative on the Historic Sites and Monuments Board, who is presenting the plaque on behalf of the government.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I have received a telegram from the Honorable Milton Gregg expressing his regret at not being able to be present at this ceremony. Pressing duties have kept him in Ottawa. The Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada has declared this site to be one of national historic importance. I am very pleased indeed to present this tablet on behalf of the Historic Sites and Monuments Board of Canada and also on behalf of the National Parks and Historic Sites Services of the Government of Canada.
Dr. A.G. Bailey, the Dean of Arts at the University of New Brunswick, and the New Brunswick representative on the Historic Sites and Monuments Board has just presented officially the plaque to the university. And now the main speaker at this short ceremony, who is being introduced now by Dr. Colin McKay, is Dr. J.F. Hurd, director of the David Dunlap Observatory and head of the Department of Astronomy at the University of Toronto. I believe that Dr. Hurd will be introduced to the gathering here on the campus by Professor J.E. Kennedy of the University of New Brunswick's Physics Department. Dr. Kennedy has been very active in the actual work of restoring this old observatory and renewing the equipment and making it operational once again. And now Dr. McKay, the president, is calling on Professor Kennedy to introduce the main speaker of this morning ceremony. Here's Professor Kennedy now.
President McKay, ladies and gentlemen, in 1851, William Bryden Jack completed this observatory and applied for the chair of mathematics in the University of Toronto. Dr. Jack was not selected for this appointment, but spent the remainder of his academic life in the service of this university. It seemed appropriate that the University of Toronto, having made this ceremony possible by their actions of over a century ago, should also make it successful by sending the head of their Department of Astronomy to address us today. Dr. J.F. Hurd has been associated with the Department of Astronomy at Toronto for the past 20 years, except for his period of service in the Royal Canadian Air Force during the Second World War. In 1952, he was appointed head of the department and director of the David Dunlap Observatory. Last year, he acted on behalf of all Canadian amateur astronomers as president of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. We are very pleased to welcome Dr. Hurd on his first visit to Fredericton and to the campus of the University of New Brunswick. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Hurd.
Professor Kennedy has just introduced the speaker at this morning's ceremony, Dr. Hurd, director of the David Dunlap Observatory and head of the Department of Astronomy at the University of Toronto.
President,
I'll try to get some of Dr. Hurd's remarks, and I'm coming in to him now with the microphone.
The unveiling of this
tablet marking the oldest astronomical observatory of Canada, it is my privilege to bring to the University of New Brunswick the congratulations of the University of Toronto and of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. In his interesting inquiry into the history of this observatory, Professor Kennedy has shown that without doubt it is the oldest astronomical observatory of Canada. Indeed, it was a good many years after 1851 before the Dominion government recognized the need for a government astronomical observatory and took steps to found the Dominion Observatory at Ottawa. To me, it is a very interesting fact that many of the observatories which were founded in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century have shared a common raison d'etre, namely, the search for the longitude. This was a problem which had plagued astronomers and geographers from the time of Copernicus and of Christopher Columbus. Latitude could be measured with relative ease, even in the days of Columbus, but the longitude remained elusive, especially at sea and beyond the continent of Europe. Because he had no way of measuring longitude, Columbus believed that he had reached the Orient. The Jesuit fathers of our own country repeatedly sought all during the 17th century to establish the longitude or the distance from Paris of their missions and settlements. To this end, they eagerly observed every eclipse which was predicted by the astronomers of France. The situation had become so acute by the middle of the 17th century that the British government offered a prize of £20,000 for a practicable means of determining longitude at sea and overseas. Out of this competition grew the need for an astronomical observatory to test the proposals put forward. And in 1675, the Royal Greenwich Observatory was founded for this purpose. Eventually, practicable methods were developed, thanks largely to the invention of the chronometer by the Yorkshire carpenter John Harrison. Then the use of the chronometer for longitude put new tasks on astronomers, namely the need for increasing precision of time determination by the stars, the adjustment of field instruments as compared with observatory instruments, and the training of surveyors in methods of astronomical observations. There is no doubt, as Professor Kennedy has shown, that your renowned Professor William Bryden Jack founded this observatory with these very things in mind. It is tempting to believe, moreover, that the aggressive astronomical work which Professor Jack pursued here played a part in the development of astronomical surveying, which became a necessary responsibility of the Dominion government later in the 19th century when the West was added to Canada, and which led, in turn, directly to the founding of the Dominion Observatory. Then, apparently, by some accident, the interest in astronomy here lapsed, as it has elsewhere from time to time. And this observatory and the work of that pioneer Canadian astronomer were all but forgotten. But the stars have endured for about 5 billion years. And here again, after a mere 70, risen like the phoenix, is a splendidly refurbished little observatory, ready again to inspire students with the wonder and the spirit of inquiry which have always characterized man's approach to the heavens. In offering my congratulations to you, I would like to express the hope that those of you who have been responsible for this renewal of astronomical interest will find the encouragement which your efforts merit. To be more specific, I hope that courses in astronomy will be added to the university curriculum. I hope, too, that a Fredericton Center of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada will come into being and flourish under the sponsorship of the university teaching staff. May the city of Fredericton and the University of New Brunswick once more, as in the days of William Bride and Jack, play an important role in Canadian astronomy.
You have been listening to Dr. J.F. Hurd, director of the David Dunlap Observatory and head of the Department of Astronomy at the University of Toronto. Dr. Hurd was the main speaker at a brief ceremony on the campus of the University of New Brunswick, the unveiling of a plaque marking the first astronomical observatory in Canada. The program was under the chairmanship of the university president, Dr. Colin B. Mackay, and the actual unveiling of the plaque was performed by Dr. C. McKen Steves, a member of the Provincial University Senate who's had a long-time interest in the maintenance of the old observatory. Dr. Bailey, the Dean of Arts at UNB and the New Brunswick representative on the Historic Sites and Monuments Board, made the presentation of the plaque on behalf of the Government of Canada. And finally, of course, you heard Dr. Hurd's brief address. There is quite a good little crowd turned out at this meeting, and they're all standing on the lawn before the old observatory. I can see the Premier of New Brunswick, the Honorable Hugh John Fleming, and faculty members and students and members of the Senate of the Provincial University. After the ceremony is at an end, and Dr. Mackay is just closing it now, the guests are going to be invited to go through the observatory and to see a small exhibit of various astronomical documents and astronomical instruments. This program has come to you from the campus of UNB. This is Al Tunis speaking.